Morning, today's daf in Chagiga's daf Vav. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of the Lubin's definition of flow, Lubin Zaltzman. We find ourselves in daf Hamid Beis. We are almost done with the psukim that made Amaraim cry. We have a couple more that we need to get through. We need to finish up yesterday's daf, and then we continue with today's daf Vav. We're in Hamid Beis. We're at the wide lines, and we are three lines into the wide lines. We're starting with the words Rabbi Eli. The Gemara yesterday, you recall a number of psukim that were really Rabbi Yochanan. The focus yesterday was around the Amor Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had a number of psukim that when he got to, it was just very sad, forecasting doom and destruction for the Jewish people, and giving us a little hope, and it made Rabbi Yochanan cry. The Gemara now continues along those lines. Rabbi Eli Habasalik Bedarga. The Rabbi Elah was going on a ladder, and Debe Rabbi Bar Shila Shamel Yenuka Dehava Kakari. So he heard a child saying over a pasuk. Okay, the children back then knew the psukim, and the child was saying a pasuk in Amos. Okay, so good. So the child was holding a tray of sake. Hine Yosei Harim Averi Ruch Umagila Adam Masdechol. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the mountains, created the winds, and then he also goes over the conversations of people. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows all of our conversations. So Amr Evich Rabba Magilo Masecho Takani Yeshlo. Kadosh Baruch Hu was able to retell all of our conversations. So there really is, there's nothing concealed and everything is disclosed. And Rabbi Elah says it's very difficult for every one of our conversations to be repeated and for us to feel like we have a fighting chance. So my Masecho Amr Rabba Filusicho Yisera Shabeni Shle Yishto Magidin Lola Adam B'Shas Misa. So Rav says even to the point where Sichi Yisera additional conversation. Unnecessary conversation between a husband and wife that also is going to be revealed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and from the way Rav presents it sounds like that's a bad thing, meaning to have a kind of extraneous conversation between you and your wife that's not intentional, that's not purposeful. So the Gemara says that's such banter is something that is not to be done. At the same time, Ini, the Gemara says, is this true? Ba'a Rav Kahana. The Gemara is going to tell us the story of Rav Kahana. The Gemara already told this story once before, earlier in Shas. You remember the end of Brachos? We heard this story once before. It's the same episode. So the Gemara says, Rav Kahana, Vagani Tute Puriyo. Rav Kahana was under the bed, the Rav, underneath the bed of Rav. So in other words, it's not only that the Gemara is telling the story again, but remember, it was Rav who was on the bed with his wife. So first he had a conversation with his wife, but a lighthearted conversation with his wife, resulting in laughter, and then afterwards he had relations with his wife. So Amar Narav Kahana was under the bed. Why? Because he wanted to learn. In other words, Torah he, right? That was his argument to Rab, that the totally inappropriate, totally not within the realm of Tznius, but Rav Kahana wanted to learn. This is also part of Torah's Moshe in terms of how one should engage with his wife. So so Amar Dami Puri the Rav Kim Mandalo Tarmei Tavshile, and Rav Kahana was a little bewildered. In other words, the levity, the kind of conversation that Rav was having with his wife, it sounds like the low time tavshile. It sounds like he never had relations before. That kind of lighthearted conversation. So Amar Leikahana Pok Lav Arach Ara. So Rav's response was, and the Gemara here is recounting, that Rav says to Rav Kahana, Pok, you need to get out. Lav Arach Ara, this is not Derech Eretz. Meaning it's, even though your motivation was good, you want to learn Torah, that's wonderful, but this is not the place for you to learn.
How does Gemara know about this?
Again, Ben asked me a similar question the other day. I mean, it's part of the Masorah, part of the tradition, meaning either Rav or Rav Kahana passed it on, and you know, look, there are many points of this story to learn, meaning in terms of the kind of conversation and the kind of and the extent that one has to go in terms of learning Torah and the extent that one shouldn't go in terms of learning Torah. There are many things to learn from this episode. So the Gemara felt it important enough that it not only gets passed down from one generation to the other, but it's recorded in the Gemara.
So that's
a fair question. I'm not going to know the answer, but that's, you know, it's reasonable to ask that. So lo kasha kan desarchler so you had.
There was a third
card
there too.
I don't know. They have fine questions. I just don't know. So the kasha kind of sarach leritzuyah had the lo sarach leritzuyah. So the Gemara says like this: that this kind of conversation that Rav was engaging with his wife, the playful banter, the right, what Rav himself described as being superfluous and unnecessary. So the Gemara says, no. If a man has to be Maratza's wife, he has to appease her and make her feel more comfortable. So then such conversation is not only okay, acceptable, but necessary. Rav himself demonstrated so. But if the conversation is not necessary, so then if it's not necessary, then one shouldn't have it. So basically the Gemara says, if the levity is needed, so then do it. If the levity is not needed, so then it becomes superfluous. And then we go back to the Pasuk in Amos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remind you the kinds of useless conversations that you had. V'im lo sishma'u b'misterim tifkeh nafshi mibnei geva. The Gemara now quotes another Pasuk. This is from Yirmiyahu, 13th Perek. So the Gemara now is going to explain. So in order to understand this pasuk, we need a little bit of visual over here. There is a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself, and that is a place called Mistarim, which makes perfect sense because the word says there means to hide. So good. So it makes perfect sense that the name of the place, the Makom, again, all this is just so that we can begin to understand, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, doesn't go to a particular, in other words, just there's no physicality, there's no physical limitations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, in other words, obviously, all this is done so that we can just have some idea of understanding. So, he goes to a place called Mistarim. So, Ma'am Mibnei Geva, and why does he go there? Because of Geva. Now, the word Geva, Ga'a, means exaltedness. What does that mean? So, Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Mibnei Geva, son she Yisrael, shenit la mehem, and asa lov dikochavim. The exaltedness of the Jewish people, which were removed from the Jewish people and given over to the other nations, presumably what Shmuel is referring to is the Churban Bayis Sheni, the destruction of the Second Temple, presumably. And so that as a result of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes into Mistarim. He goes into this concealed room, so to say. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Mimnei Gava Tosha Machu Shamayim. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani gives a different explanation, although sounds similar, and that is that the exaltedness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning Shem Shemayim, has now been reduced as a result of the destruction. So Umiika Bechiyag HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this idea, so good. So go back to the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, right? So now this is a description of Hashem, and the pasuk says, I'm going to read the pasuk again. Im lo tishma'u b'mistarim, you're not going to hear him in the mistarim. What is he doing in the mistarim? Tifkeh nafshi. So now the way the Torah is describing it, Hashem is crying, right? Again, an emotion connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shaber says Naim. Just it helps us understand. It's not to be taken literally. The Gemara says, yeah, but that kind of emotion doesn't exist in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says, pasuk in Devar Hayamim. We're familiar with this pasuk. It's put into davening that there's splendor in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oz v'chedva. Chedva is joy. There's joy in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how can we have a description in Yirmiyahu of there being sadness in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu where that emotion is just simply not relevant towards lifnei Hashem? So the Gemara says, Lokasha habavate gavar habavate barai. So the Gemara over here gives an answer that there's a difference between the inner chamber and the outer chamber. In the outer chamber, there's only chedva. And in the inner chamber, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu can express sadness and there could be crying. So Vabate Brai Lo, the Gemara says, and even what about the? You mean to tell me that Vabate Brai, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out of the inner chamber and in the outer chamber, so you mean to tell me that there's no, there's literally no crying? Vaksiv, the Gemara says, okay, but let's go to another pasuk in Yeshayahu. Vayikra Hashem. So Kadosh Baruch over here is mourning, and there's eulogy, and he's crying, and he's wearing sackcloth, and now why is this such a strong question? Meaning, couldn't you just argued that this is bate gavai? This could be in the inner chamber. So Rashi points out that the Gemara's question is based on the fact that the opening of the pasuk is kriya vayikra. But he crosses Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Kocho kriya hashama'as kolhi. So kriya is something which is heard. So if it's something which is heard, it cannot be in his inner chamber. In his inner chamber, again, just so that we can only begin to understand. In the inner chamber, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be heard. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is heard by definition means that he's in the outer chamber and he's crying, which the Gemara says can't be. So Shani Chorban Beis Hamikdash, the Afilo Malachei Shalom Bachu. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about Chorban Beis Hamikdash. If we're talking about Chorban Beis Hamikdash, so then crying occurs irrespective of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was situated, and the Malachim cry, and the Chorban Beis Shani is the biggest tragedy, and that will elicit crying even Bebate Barai, even outside. Shenemar Hein Arlim Sa'aku Chutzah Malachei Shalom Mayiv Kayun. Okay, so the Malachim cry, everyone's crying over Chorban Beis Shani. The Demetid Mavet Tered Eini Dima Kinishba Eder Hashem. Gemara quotes another pasuk from Yirmiyahu. We're going back to the 13th verse of Yirmiyahu. The pasuk gives a description of tears flowing, and why? Kinishba Eder Hashem, because the flock of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taken captive. And Amar Velazar Shalosh Demaos Halal Olama. So if you look carefully at the number of tears I mentioned this pasuk, there are three. Right, Damo Tidma, 1, 2, Dima. So that's three crying. Achas Hamikdash Rishon, Ve'Achdash Ve'Echad Hamikdash Sheni. So one cry for the first base of Mikdash, the second for the second base of Mikdash, and Ve'Achas Ha'Yisrael Shegalu Mimkoma, and a third crying for Galus, for being sent into exile. Ve'Igad Amri Achas Ha'Bitul Torah. And there's another explanation, and that is for Bitul Torah, crying over Bitul Torah for the lack of Torah that's learned. So Bishlam Laman Dama Yisrael Shegalu Ha'Inu Dichsiv Kinishbaya Eder Hashem. I understand the first pshat because it really fits into the words of the pasuk. You look in Yirmiyahu and it says Eder Hashem. Or, I'm sorry, Anishba Eder Hashem, the captivity of the flock of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's talking about Galus. That's the description of us in the exile. I get it. But Elaman Dama Bitul Torah my Kinishba Eder Hashem. So the Gemara says, but if we're talking about Bitul Torah, how does that fit into the words of the pasuk? Pasuk talks about captivity, not about a lack of learning Torah. So the Gemara's answer is, Kevin Shekali Yisrael, Mimkama Melech HaBitul Torah Gadol Mizeh. Gemara says, once we were sent into exile, that equals Bitul Torah. That is Bitul Torah. It is difficult for us to be learning with concentration and consistency if we don't have a central location. The central location really is going to be the impetus to better learning, to more qualitative learning, to better learning. But once we're sent into exile, that's it. It's there's going to, by definition, be a lack of learning. That's how you understand the pasuk. Tana Rabbanan, Shlosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bochalem B'chol Yom. Three people HaKadosh Baruch Hu cry over every day. Al She'ef Shel Asuk B'Torah Ve'Eino Osek. And this could be, the Braisa could be working off that pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where the pasuk in Yirmiyahu described the three crimes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Although, to be fair, the Braisa doesn't actually say that, but just based on the context of the Gemara, the flow of the Gemara, it sounds like this is still going back to the 13th parak of Yirmiyahu. So there are three people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cry over. Al she'ef shel asok b'Torah ve'eino osek. Someone has the means and capacity to learn Torah, but does not learn Torah. Okay, that understandable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saddened by that. Al she'ef shel asok b'Torah ve'osek. Someone who is not able to learn Torah, but nevertheless pushes himself to learn Torah. This one is difficult. Let's be honest. It's hard to understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying over such an individual. Just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rejoice over such an individual who does not have means, who doesn't live a comfortable life, but nevertheless understands the importance of learning Torah and the need to learn Torah, and he pushes himself to learn Torah. So it's strange that the reaction is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying over such an individual. So you saw the notes over here. He offers a number of pshatim in the Gemara over here. Rashi. I don't know why Rashi's not bothered by this. It's such a basic issue in the Gemara. Anyway, so he quotes Achronim. He quotes a number of Achronim. Who offer a couple of explanations. I'll give one of the explanations. He quotes the Yon Yaakov over here, right? The second one on the sheet. So he quotes the Yon Yaakov over here. So the Yon Yaakov says that it's not talking about somebody, right? This is it's good for me to hear this, right? Somebody who is Eif Shalasuk B'Torah, meaning someone who's not really in a position to learn Torah, and meanwhile the Oseg, and he teaches, meaning basically someone who teaches who's unqualified to teach. That's the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset with. And so for such an individual, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying. And obviously the Torah that he's going to be teaching is a corrupt form of the Torah, because it's coming from somebody who's not qualified to teach. Okay, that's a possible explanation. And finally, number three, Aparnas HaMizgal HaTzibor. Parnasim is Galat Sibor, talking about a leader who is who basically is arrogant towards his community, right? You know, a rabbi of a community or any leader of a community who understands his position, but also revels in his position and flaunts his position. And for such an individual, Kadosh Baruch Hu is most unhappy. Kadosh Baruch Hu is crying. Rebbe Abenakat Sefer Kinos VeKakari Begave. Rebbe's reading now Sefer Kinos. Sefer Kinos is another expression for Echa. Echa is referred to as Sefer Kinos. And Kimat Alay Psuk, and he gets to the second paragraph of Echa, and he Hishlich Meshamayim Eretz Nafal Min. I'm sorry. Hishlich Meshamayim Eretz. So we were up in the heavens and we fell down to the ground, talking about the decline of the Jewish people. And Nafal Min Yadei. As Rebbe's reading, he can't handle it anymore. The sadness is just gripping him and gripping him so much that he loses grip of the sefer, drops out, it falls out of his hands. Amrami Ikaram Labira Mikasa. So Rebbe just gives a little more emphasis to the pasuk. The pasuk describes how we decline from the heavens down to the earth. He says it was a precipitous drop. We go from all the way up top to all the way down into an empty to a very deep pit. In other words, it's not just a fall; it's a precipitous fall. Rebbe, on the topic of Rebbe, Rebbe's together with Rebbe Chia. Rebbe and Rebbe Chia were very close. Remember, Rebbe's the Mesader Mishnayos. He was the one who put together, they edited the Mishnayos, and Rebbe Chia was the Mesader Braisos. He put together the Braisos, and they were colleagues. They were together very often. The Gemara over here tells really an interesting story with the two of them. So Rebbe Chia Avishak Levaz Baruch, they were walking together. Came out to Lahu Masa. They got to a particular city. Ami Ketzur Bimarabban and Hacham. So they want to know in this community, is there a Talmud Chacham in this community? Nezo v'nikbal ape. So we'll do the mitzvah of seeing the Talmud Chacham. We're going to see a lot of this over the course of Chagiga, where there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Re'iyah, of going up to the Beis Hamikdash and drawing yourself close to Kadosh Baruch Hu after the Churban. So what do you do to replace that? Meaning you're not going to be able to see the Beis Hamikdash. I mean, you can go to Yerushalayim, and there may be a version of the mitzvah nowadays even without a Beis Hamikdash, but classically what was done, traditionally what was done, is you go visit your Talmud Chacham. You go visit your local Talmud Chacham, and in doing so you'll have a version of Kabbalah's Pnei Ashchina. So that's you'll see a lot of that over the course of this Masechta, and here's one example. So he says, not the lape, so good. So let's see if there's a Talmud Chacham here. Let's go see him. So Amri Ikat Zerbeim Rabban Anacho or Me'or Einayim Hu. So a little investigation, and the answer was sure. There's a Talmud Chacham here, and he happens to be blind. Okay. Amalei Rebbe Chila Rebbe Tiv At Lo Tezalzal Benisio Secha. Ezo Ana Va'akpe Akpe. Va'akpil Ape. So Rebbe Chila makes an interesting proposition to Rebbe, and he says, look, you're the Nasi. You're the leader of the Jewish people. It's beneath you to go and visit him. You stay here. I'll do the mitzvah of being mekabel the Talmud Chacham. I'll go visit him. I'll go say Shalom Aleichem to him. And you stay here. So, Takfei V'Azal Ba'adei. Rebbe didn't want to hear from that. He didn't think that was appropriate. There is a discussion in the Gemara Kedushin about Melech Shemach L'Akvodo, meaning that can there be Mechles HaKavod for a king? The Gemara's answer is no. So, but okay, Rebbe felt that it was still within his appropriateness to go and to another Talmud Chacham and to see him. Okay, so if you have a mifter, aminei amar lohu atem itkabeltam panim hanirim ve'einan roin. So after they both went to go visit this Talmud Chacham in this particular community, and when the blind Talmud Chacham says goodbye to them, he gives them the following bracha: you who go see somebody who can be seen but at the same time cannot see, a description of himself. Tizku lahakba panim haromim ve'eino nirim. So eventually you should have the zchus of seeing the one, capital O, right, the one who sees but cannot be seen. The beautiful bracha given by the blind Talmud Chacham to Rebbe and to Rebbe Chia. So amalei eku hasha min asan. So after they leave, Rebbe turns to Rebbe Chia and says, you know, this is what you wanted to prevent me from experiencing, meaning what an unbelievable experience, what an unbelievable bracha. And Rebbe was a little bit upset with Rebbe Chia. Rebbe says to Rebbe Chia, you know, you wanted to stop me from that. Right? Okay. A little tochacha. I'm sorry. Menasa meha brachasa. You wanted to stop me from that bracha. Okay. Amrulei mimansh mi'alach. So they say to him, apparently they, meaning the Talmidim, are asking Rebbe, Mimash Me'alach, how do you know this? Question, how do you know that it's so important to be Mekabel Talmud Chacham? You see a Talmud Chacham, you know there's a Talmud Chacham in the community, you should go over to the Talmud Chacham, you should say hello to him, you should say Shalom Aleichem. Sit down with him a little bit. How did you know there was such a value? That was so important. So Mipirka de Rav Yaakov Shmielisi, he says, I learned it from the Shir of Rav Yaakov. De Rav Yaakov, Ishkvar Chataya Hava Makbel Ape de Rabbei Kol Yuma. So Rav Yaakov, the village of Chitaya, would make sure to visit his Rebbe every day. So when he was, as he was getting weaker, they said to him, okay, maybe let's try to ease up your schedule a little bit, not every single day. So he didn't want to hear from it. No, what do you mean? Stop visiting the Talmud Chacham? No. Pasuk says, so the Pasuk in Tehillim says that no one's going to see Shachas, no one's going to see destruction, maybe an allusion to Gehenna, in the event that Kira Chachamim Yamusu. If you see a Talmud Chacham, and you see an elderly Talmud Chacham, and you see a Talmud Chacham who's even dying, still there's a value to seeing a Talmud Chacham. Let's develop a very simple Kav HaChomer. If seeing Talmid HaChomim in their waning years, if that provides a chus for somebody, so can you imagine what it is to see a Talmid HaChomim while he's alive and healthy and really in the fit of his life? So the Gemara says it's a value. It's a tremendous value to see a Talmid HaChomim. Rav Idi Avud, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, have a ragel, have a azal tasa yorcheb orcha v'chayuma bevei Rav. Okay, so Rav Idi, the father of Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, which, you know, makes sense. So, it's just a confusing way to say it. But have a ragel, so he would have the following formula in terms of learning. Okay, now we pride ourselves on being efficient and doing things in the most efficient manner. And this is really the opposite of efficiency in terms of learning Torah. So what would he do? He would travel for 3 months, and then he would go to the Beis Medrash, and he would spend 1 day in the Beis Medrash, and then he would travel back home. So in other words, that's 6 months of travel. Six months of travel for 1 day of learning. So it's really not the epitome of efficiency. I think we can all agree. So v'havakar le rabbanan bar be rav dechayuma. So the Chachamim, now this part of the story, either I don't understand or it's just, you know, it's upsetting. Either way. But the Bnei HaYeshiva said, look, here's a guy who comes and learns for 1 day. Okay, seemingly mocking him, deriding him. Okay, it's not the nice part of the story. Let's put it that way. Chalosh date, and so obviously he feels bad. Right? He's being viewed as inefficient and maybe even what's the thought process behind that? So Karyan Avshay Schok L'Re'eu Ayyem. So he quotes the Pasuk in Iyov and he says, look, they're making fun of me. Amli Rav Yochanan Matusim Minach Lo Tanish Lu Rabbanon. So Rav Yochanan realizes, oh, this can't be good. Rav Yochanan says that the rabbis are making fun of somebody for coming to learn, and okay, his style of learning is inefficient, 3 months of travel to learn for 1 day, but still, Lamaisa, think about it, what's happening? They're making fun of somebody for learning, for coming and learning. And Rav Yochanan realizes that they're going to get punished. And he begs HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't punish them for their mocking and their deriding. So now for Rav Yochanan, Bei Midrash V'Darash. And Rav Yochanan felt that, you know what, let me help educate the masses. Let me help them understand that this is not a bad thing, just the opposite. V'asi yom yom yidrashun v'das darchei yichpatsun. So the Pasuk says in Yishayahu that daily they're going to seek me out, me meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'daras darchei yichpatsun. And my method, my manners are going to seek out. Okay, so people are going to basically learn my Torah daily. So v'chibi yom darshin oso v'layla ein darshin oso. Now the only problem, says Rav Yochanan, as he's darshining this Pasuk to everybody, so he's giving the sermon and he's telling everybody, look, you understand this Pasuk? It doesn't make sense. People seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the day. During the day, what about night? There's a mitzvah to learn at night as well. So, So learning Torah, it is not an issue of efficiency. Don't look at Limud HaTorah as an efficiency issue. but rather look at it as a desire. If a person has a desire to learn Torah, even if it's in an inefficient manner, even if he ends up only learning one day, but the fact that he travels 3 months to learn one day, it's ki'ilu, it's as if, asa kol hashana, it's as if he learned the entire year. And the Gemara says now, seemingly this is still continuation of Rav Yochanan. It works the other direction as well, meaning it works for good, but it also works for bad. So based on the number of days that you went, that you're going to be punished. So and now think about it. What was the punishment for the Meraglim visiting Eretz Yisrael for 40 days? So they're going to be in the desert for 40 years. That's not fair, if we're allowed to say that. Right? That's totally unfair. 40 years for 40 days? So Rabbi Yochanan tells everybody, yeah, in the context of what we're talking about, I get it. So, to call out over, Aver b'yama, filo echa b'shana, mala lava kasav ki'ilu, aver kol hashana kula. You're an avayan one day of the year, it's ki'ilu, it's as if you're an avayan for the entire year. Okay, so... So we learn now how a day can become a year, both Latov and Lara. And I'm venturing to say, I'm going off on a small limb, I don't think it's a big limb, I'm venturing to say that it's not that every action you do is going to be looked at on an annual basis. It means basically that based on the amount of effort, energy, and focus that you had in that one day's activity, meaning for the Rav who went to the base measures for one day, but 3 months of travel, that takes that one day and expands it to the whole year, because look at how excited he was over that one day of learning. And similarly, this is me suggesting, the Gemara doesn't say this, but similarly for the Meraglim, meaning it's true that they went there for 40 days, but 40 days, in other words, that they were planning on speaking poorly about Eretz Yisrael, meaning that there was much invested in those 40 days, and therefore those 40 days then converts into 40 years. Okay. Whew, that was a lot. just so we can catch up, let's go. Let me just take a moment to breathe, and we're continuing now. Ezu Katan, back to the Gemara, back to a discussion of our Mishnah. We have the Gemara segued into Divrei Agadata. That was over the course of the entire yesterday's daf. That was daf Hey. Daf Dalid was half Agadata, and now we're back to the Halacha. We're back to discussing our Mishnah. Mishnah introduces us to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Aliyah L'Regel is that everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel to go up from Yerushalayim up to Har Habayis. Now, first and foremost, the Mishnah gave us a number of exceptions, 10 exceptions in all, of people who are exempt from the mitzvah. And as we went through the Gemara, we talked about other exemptions as well. But then we talked about a mitzvah of chinuch for the ketanim. Katan, when a minor gets to a certain developmental stage, so the father has a mitzvah of chinuch to go bring him up to Yerushalayim, I'm sorry, bring him up to Har Habayis, from Yerushalayim up to Har Habayis, in order to train him in the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. At what point is this child now obligated from the reason of chinuch to go up and to be seen in the Azara? So if you remember back in the Mishnah, that was a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Let's just remind ourselves of the opinions. Beis Shammai said back in the Mishnah that as long as a child is old enough where he can be thrown onto the shoulder of his father, and so that the father can walk him up on his shoulders up to the Har Habayis, so up to the Azara, at that point in time, now there's a mitzvah of chinuch midrabbanan. Beis Hillel says no, that's too young. Beis Hillel says a later developmental stage when the child can walk on his own, he needs help being held at hands by the father, but that's all the help that he needs. Then and only then is there a mitzvah of chinuch midrabbanan. That's the machlokes in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We are up to the Gemara. We're on the very, very bottom of Daf Hey Amud Beis, and we're about to turn the page. Maskef la Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera has a very simple question. Ad hacha man I say, until this very moment, who brought him? Meaning the traverse that our Mishnah was describing was from Yerushalayim up to Har Habayis. Meaning it's an elevation, and you're going to be walking from Yerushalayim, presumably you're in the Old City, you're going up to the Har Habayis, and you're even further ascending up to the Azara. Okay, good. But that means then that there was a point in the Mishnah, which we didn't go over, but it's obvious, that they means that they first went from the house to Yerushalayim. So how did you make it from the house up to Yerushalayim? And Rashi over here explains the question with more detail. Look at the top Rashi on Vav Amud Aleph. Anachamana, I say Rashi, Ad Yerushalayim Mihevil, Ba'alo Mishu Yachol Lios Chutz Mihimo Yachol Lechos Bi'ad Aviv. Dichde Aliyah Miyerushalayim Harabayis, Ata Omer, She'yechanchuhu Ve'ad Yerushalayim Mihevil. So Rashi says, here's what's behind the assumption of the Gemara. If this child is old enough already to walk from his house, wherever he may live in Eretz Yisrael, over to Yerushalayim, that means that he doesn't need his mother anymore. And it's Tzarech Le'imo. It's a term we see often in the Gemara. He doesn't need his mother anymore, so that means that the kid's walking. If he no longer needs his mother, he's walking from wherever he lived all the way to Yerushalayim. So at that point in time, but for sure, he's going to be able to walk from Yerushalayim up to Har Habayis with the holding of his father's hand. Meaning, where are we going to come across this scenario where, according to Beis Shammai, a small child, you put him on the shoulders, that means that he can't even walk on his own. He still needs his mother. How did he get from his hometown over to Yerushalayim, where now, oh, just simply flung him on your shoulders? So the Gemara is giving an answer, and perhaps everyone here already thought of this answer. Well, maybe mom came along. So Amar Le Abaye Ad Hacha De Mechay VeImei Kis B'Simcha Isisay Imei. So Abaye gives a very simple answer. Mom came, meaning you're right. Mom is not obligated in the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Okay, the pasuk says Kol Zechorcha. Only the males are obligated in the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So for that part, for sure, she's not obligated. But she's obligated in the mitzvah of Simcha. Now you take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi quotes the pasuk V'Samachta Atal Beisecha. Right, you and your household are going to be obligated in the mitzvah of Simcha. Okay, and a discussion, right, a long discussion amongst the Rishonim already. Is the wife herself obligated in the mitzvah of Simcha, or is the mitzvah primarily on the husband to be Mesamech his wife? Okay, but either way, and it's an important detail. But either way, let's just deal with the basic point of the Gemara. And that is that the wife is obligated in the mitzvah of Simcha. So she's obligated in the mitzvah of Simcha, meaning eating from the shlamim of the karbanos. So she has to go to Yerushalayim. Now, from the point of Yerushalayim, she doesn't have to go up to Har Habayis, because that's a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, that's for the men. Fine. But that's how the kid got from his hometown to Yerushalayim, because mom came as well. It's that simple. And then, from that point going forward, now Beis Hillel says, now that the kid's in Yerushalayim, now is there a mitzvah of chinuch? Now Beis Hillel will say it depends. It's very simple. If the child can walk on his own with the help of just simply a handhold from the father, so then the child has a mitzvah of, then the father has a mitzvah of chinuch on the child. And if not, so then the child stays with the mother, and the father by himself will do the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Adkan. Okay, good. Heishiv Rebbe Tachas Beis Hillel, Divrei Beis Shammai. Okay, Rebbe over here is going to now defend Beis Hillel. Shitas Beis Hillel. Shitas Beis Hillel usually doesn't need defending. I mean, it usually stands on its own. There are a couple of notable times in Shas where we pass like Beis Shammai, but usually we pass like Beis Hillel. I guess over here what Rebbe's doing is just simply saying, I understand Beis Hillel much better than I understand Beis Shammai. Look, Shitas Beis Shammai may not be accepted la halacha, but still, Torah he, it's part of the corpus of Torah. So Rebbe's just trying to understand. Chana didn't bring Shmuel, we'll say baby Shmuel, because he was at the time. So she didn't bring her son up to the Mishkan. In other words, and she said, I'm going to wait until after he weans. And then only after the weaning, then I'll come up. Okay, now, at the time, they weren't going to Yerushalayim, but still, there was a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and Aliyah at the time, where did they all go to? They went to Shiloh, where the Mishkan was. 369 years, the Mishkan was in Shiloh. So this is the end of the Tkufa of Mishkan Shiloh, because Shmuel, then followed by Shaul, followed then by David HaMelech, and the Beis HaMikdash will be built shortly. But this is towards the end of the Mishkan, and Chana's not bringing Shmuel because waiting until he weans. And now let's think about this from Beit Shammai's standpoint. Beit Shammai says that there's a mitzvah of chinuch. At what point? When you could take the baby, it's a toddler, take it and put it on your shoulders and go up to the Har Habayis. In this case, not Har Habayis, it's Shiloh, but still it's the same point. So Rebbe's asking, according to Beit Shammai, isn't there a mitzvah for dad to take the toddler Shmuel, put him on his shoulders, and go up to Shiloh? Shouldn't there be? So Amar Lei. Now we have an Argirsa Avua. Okay, and the other side, and the inside it says Abaye. So Amar Lei. Okay, which is then Abaye is responding to Rebbe. Okay. Okay, either gears is difficult. But either way. Amale Abaye Latamech Tishila Chanagufa. So Milo Mechaiva Besimcha. So the Gemara says, okay, look, your question's good, but let's ask another question. It's also a very simple question. Chana herself, granted, she's not Mitzchaiv in the Mitzvah of a little regal. You're right. But she's Chaiv in the Mitzvah of Simcha. Women are Chaiv in the Mitzvah of Simcha. Why does she go to Shiva for the Mitzvah of Simcha? So Alachana Mipat Kenusa Yeserasa Chazya Bey Bishmuel. So he says that what Chana realized at that point in time is that Shmuel was very fragile, very delicate. It would be a danger for Shmuel to travel. So therefore, Shmuel was not going to do any traveling. Chana, the mother, was taking care of Shmuel. If Shmuel's not going to travel, she's not going to travel as well. And so therefore, she felt it would be a danger. If something is going to be a danger for a child, so obviously, pikuach nefesh, that's going to supersede. And so therefore, Chana felt that it would be a risk to take Shmuel up. She wasn't ready to take that risk, right? Probably obligated not to take that risk, and therefore her and Shmuel stayed home until Shmuel was old enough where he was weaned, and then and only then did he go up to Shiloh. Excuse me. By Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon has the following question: Kan chiger ledivrei beis shamai. Let's say the child is a chiger. Okay, so where Rachmel has slung the child on his own, cannot walk, according to beis shamai. V'suma l'divrei shneihem, or let's say the child is blind, Rachman l'tzlan. So mahu. So would there be an obligation of chinuch on such a child? Now, what's the first question of Rabbi Shimon? A lame child for Beis Shammai? Why is that a question? Because remember, because according to Beis Shammai, what do you do with the child? You hoist the child and you put him on your shoulders and you walk up to your Yerushalayim. So the truth of the matter is, the child, in order to successfully navigate his way up to Har Habayis, up to the Azara, child doesn't have to walk. So for such a child, according to Beis Shammai, does he need? Is there a mitzvah of chinuch? Conversely, according hold on a second. I mean, you're right, but just wait 1 second. So, and conversely, for Beis Hillel, let's say the child is blind. Now, we learned in our Mishnah that a blind person is not chayv in the mitzvah of Riyah. But over here, we're talking about a child. So he's blind, but he's going to hold his father's hand. So the blind child can navigate his way up to the Arbais, up to the Azar, by holding his father's hand. Is there going to be a mitzvah of chinuch? So hechidam ilam bechigur sheino cholitz pashiv v'stuma sheino cholitz pateach hashagod apal tekatem ibai. So the Gemara says, okay, man, this is where we get to your point. And the Gemara says, look, if we're talking about where the prognosis is not good for the lame child, right? The medical knowledge of the time is saying this is it. This is going to be, his legs are never going to work. And for the blind child, again, at the time the doctors are saying, this is it. This is not something he's going to recover from. So then there's not even a question to ask. Obviously he'll be exempt, and obviously there won't be a mitzvah of chinuch. If we forecast in the future he's going to be exempt, well, for sure now he's going to be exempt as well. That's easy, meaning easy to answer. So, lo tzricha b'chigur she'yachol ispashit v'stuma she'yachol ispatech. But let's say current medicine, the doctor's opinion is that this is just a temporary state. For whatever reason, for whatever explanation is given, he can't walk, but only temporarily. He can't see, but it's only temporary. So now the question gets a little bit sharper. This now turns into an interesting discussion. Is there a mitzvah of chinuch on such a child? My. So what would be the mitzvah of chinuch under such circumstances? And take a look at Tosos, where Tosos actually spells out the question. Right, third Tosfos on the Amud. Tosfos writes, "Mikame gidulo." In other words, he's going to heal before he comes of age. I mean, that's what the prognosis is. Me armina dekim degadol amechayv bedaraisa gabi katanami mechayv bechinuch demiduhu time bekan ela mishum lachanchod yada kishu gadol. So Tosfos says, "Look, you know what chinuch is? As its name indicates, chinuch is training. Meaning, chinuch is that right now he's not obligated; he's a child." But you forecast, like 7 years of age, you forecast 6 short years from now, he's going to be a gadol. So basically what chinuch means is that we're going to forecast in the future, we're going to look at 13 years of age, here's how we want him to behave. So how do you get a kid to behave a certain way? You train him. This is what we do. We do a lila rego. So even though right now in this current state the child is exempt, but the doctors are saying that he's gonna heal. So we're forecasting anyway. So if we're forecasting that he's going to be 13 and he'll be able to walk and he'll be able to see, so then even though in his current state he's not obligated, again, he's not obligated at all. He's a katan. But add to that, compounded with that, that the state that he's in right now, he's not obligated, but still chinuch is all about forecasting to when he becomes a gadol. So good. So under such circumstances, so then you do it. You walk him up. I'm sorry, just one moment. What's the alternative? So Tosfos writes, Odil makimen de gadol ba'achil ha-mechayev gam katan lo. Or maybe no. Maybe the mitzvah of chinuch is not a forecast to the future, but maybe the chinuch is ba'asher u'sham. Meaning maybe the chinuch is that, look, you look at the kid in the current state. Now again, the kid in the current state is not obligated because he's a kid. He's a katan. But still, maybe the mitzvah of chinuch says, take this individual, look at him as if he's a gadol, and train him in the mitzvah. As if he were a gadol. Well, if you're looking at him in his current state, well, also in his current state, he's blind. Or in his current state, he's lame. So in his current state, he wouldn't be obligated. Maybe that's the mitzvah of chinuch, and under such circumstances, he would be putter. That's the two sides of the Gemara. Basically, it really touches on a fundamental issue of what is chinuch? Is chinuch a forecast of the future? Or is chinuch, ba'asher u'sham, looking at the child right now, obviously with an eye towards the future, obviously, but in other words, but his obligation is going to be predicated on his current state, not on the future state. Yes, Danny.
You could argue, even if it's a suffix, whether he's going to recover or not, otherwise, what are you waiting for?
Right. The Gemara is simplifying. I agree with you. Gemara is simplifying the whole issue by saying that we know he's going to heal or we don't know he's going to heal. Right. You're in the world of medicine. You know that there's a... Not everything is known. Okay. So good. So I understand. But the Gemara is simplifying the question, but just so that we hear both sides of the issue. So the Gemara says... So that was the question. Okay, I'm sorry. So Amar Abaye. So Abaye's answer to the question is called Hecha de Gadol Mechay Midaraisa Katanami Mechan Chisam Lei Midarabanan. Called Hecha de Gadol Pater Midaraisa Midarabanan Katanami Pater. And his answer is Basher Usham. Look at him in his current state. Meaning, if a adult in that state would be Chayev, so then there's a mitzvah of Chinuch. If a Gadol in that state was Pater, so then there'd be no mitzvah of Chinuch. Abai's answer basically is, no mitzvah of chinuch under such circumstances. So Rachmanos, the child is blind. Even if doctors are saying he's going to be able to see. Right now, there's no mitzvah of chinuch. If in this current state the child is unable to walk, so even if the doctors are saying, yeah, but he's going to walk, still, in the current state, there's no mitzvah of chinuch.
So is Abai saying that a chiyuv de rabbanon, there's no...
Yeah, not even a chiyuv de rabbanon. Right?
No, but he's talking about deraisa. The implication is that if it was a chiyuv de rabbanon, he wouldn't even been required.
That's a good one. Meaning, what if on the adult state there'd be a de rabbanon obligation? Then what, how's that translate to the mitzvah of chinuch? Good. I don't know, but that's right. It would be middle ground in this discussion. Okay, we move now to the last topic discussed in the Mishnah, and that is money to spend on karbanos. Okay, Rashi already told us in the Mishnah. Before I get to Rashi, in the Mishnah itself, there's machlokes between Meisham and Beisolo about the amount of money that you need to spend. What are you spending money on? So two karbanos. Now there's a third karban, okay, which Shami Simcha, which we'll get to later on. But right now our Mishnah is focused on the two karbanos. One of them is called the Olas Re'iya, and the other one is called Shami Chagiga. How much money do you spend on such karbanos? So that's a debate. You go back to the Mishnah, remind ourselves what we learned back in the Mishnah. So Beishamai Armem Haruiyah Shtei Kesef V'Chagiga Ma'a Kesef. So Beishamai says that the Re'iya, you pay two silver coins, and the Chagiga but one. And Beisil says, no, just the opposite. Haru'iyya Ma'a Kesef V'Chagiga Shtei Kesef. So here's what, and now let's remind ourselves what Rashi said back in the Mishnah. Rashi said back in the Mishnah that this... that these monies that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing about is not min haTorah. Torah never mentions how much money to spend on karbanos. Torah just simply says get the karban. Torah doesn't give a ceiling or a or a floor in terms of how much money we should be spending.
What if the guy is a shepherd and already owns them?
Right, correct, right, right, and he doesn't have the actual money to spend. I guess it means then that the value of the animal has to be this much, presumably. But Rashi back in the Mishnah says that these are dinim derabanan. Okay, afapi Rashi back in the Mishnah I'm reading. Afapi shalanitna batar shir chachamim not nushir. The chachamim gave a shir. Okay, and it only begs the next question. Or where did the Chacham get these numbers from? And the big issue, which we're going to be discussing for the rest of today's daf, and we're not going to finish it, but we're going to be discussing for the rest of today's daf, is that the Chacham gave these numbers. They obviously, what they're arguing about, Beisham and Beisila, is, well, where should there be more value being placed in? When I say value, I mean like financial value. Should it be placed more in the carbon ola, the ola for the olas riyah, or should more value be placed on the shlamim, the shamech chagiga? Now here, it's interesting, you can make arguments in either direction, and the Gemara is about to do that, so let's go. Let's see the Gemara inside. We're on Vav Amud Aleph, we're at the two dots. Beishamay Omer Maru Yishtei Kesef V'chulei. Tell me about Beishamay Omer Maru Yishtei Kesef V'chagiga Ma'akesef. Sorry, Xisa Ru'uya. Ha'ri'iya. Shtei Kesef V'chagiga Ma'akesef. Shari'iya Ola Kula L'gavoa. Ma'ashe'en Kim V'chagiga. So Beishamay says, look, here's argument number one. The Ola's Ri'iya is an Ola. By definition, it's going to go totally on the Mizbeach, and it's going all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's put more value on that. Let's double the amount of money we spend on that than on the Chagiga. Chagiga is a Shlamim. As such, a portion of it goes on the Mizbeach, but the majority of it is going to be eaten by the Kohanim and the owners. Okay, that's argument number one of Beit Shammai. Va'od, Matzino, Batzera, Shariba, Bamakasa, Va'olos, Yosemim, B'Shlamim. And if you look at the Yantav of Shavuos, and you look at all the carbonas that we have to bring on Shavuos, now there are shlamim that are brought on Shavuos. Okay? As part of the list of carbonas that we bring for the Yantav itself. And the two shlamim that we bring on Shavuos are the Kivsei Atzeres, which are Shalmei Tzibur, communal shlamim. There is no other time in the year that there's a communal shlamim that's offered. Shavuos is the only time that communal shlamim is offered. Okay, but it's offered. And meanwhile, look at the ratio of the two shlamim that are offered in Shavuos relative to all the olas that are offered. You take a look at Rashi. Rashi here gives us a list of olas that are offered on Shavuos. Parsha Shura Kesef, Vikraftim al Alechem, Shivas Kvasim Tamimim, seven lams, Parben Bakar Achad, a bull, Elim Shnayim, two rams, and they are all brought as an ola. As opposed to Shnei Kvasim, two lambs, which are shlamim. So, by the way, the ratio is much bigger than 2 to 1. Okay.
It's kachem, though. That's the difference between that and...
You're right, it's on a higher level.
Category.
Right, we're going to see versions of that argument coming up in the Gemara in just a moment, but just the basic idea that you see that the Torah itself puts a higher emphasis on the Ola than on the Shlamim. So what Beis Shammai is doing is, okay, take that basic ratio and now convert it to our obligation. All of us have an obligation on every Yontif to bring an Ola and a Shlamim. The Ola should be more than the Shlamim. Good. That's the second argument to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Omer Mariya Ma'akesef Chagishtei Kesef. So now we turn to Beis Hillel, and now we have the arguments of Beis Hillel. But you'll notice nearly every time, the Gemara mentions this, that when they're offering their arguments, Beis Shammai goes first. Right? That's usually how it's presented. That Beis Shammai's arguments go first, and then Beis Hillel follows up. So Beis Hillel says that the Shagachagiga Yeshlef Nehadibor Masha'en Kein Bereiyah. Argument number one of Beis Hillel, do you know that before we were offering olas, we were offering shlamim? Historically. Like shlamim was like the first carbon that we brought. Okay, I will explain that in better detail as we go through the Gemara. Okay.
But Avram was going to offer Yitzchak as an ola, no?
Okay, that's true. Okay, you'll see. It'll get explained better. And also, let's talk about the Nisim. In the first 12 days of opening of the Mishkan, on the first day of Nisan until the 12th day of Nisan, so the Nisim came. And they brought in Karbanos for those 12 days. Okay, all this is articulated in Parshas Naso. And if you look at the Karbanos that they brought, so the ratio is that they went heavier on the Shlamim than that on the Ola. So you see, more shlamim than ola. So this is the second argument of Beis Hillel, more money for the shlamim for them than that of the ola. Okay, so we have two arguments in favor of Beis Shammai, two arguments in favor of Beis Hillel. And again, by the way, to my memory, I'm just thinking of other times where they presented their arguments, right? The Gemara says they always want to match each other in terms of numbers, right? The quantity of arguments. So it's, in this case, it's two for Beis Shammai, two for Beis Hillel. Oh, Beis Hillel, now the Gemara is going to analyze. Oh, Beis Hillel, my time, Allah, my Beis Shammai. The Gemara, Riyah Difa da Allah, Kula la Gavala, Adra Bechagi Gadifa, this Beis Shechilos. So what is Beis Hillel's counter argument to argument number one of Beis Shammai? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what his counter argument would be. You're right, the Ola is totally consumed. But the Shlamim, there are more consumers. Think of the number of consumers of a Shlamim. Kadosh Baruch Hu gets a portion, Kohanim get a portion, the owners get a portion, three consumers. That's good. And with the Kamar and Elif Matzeres, and what was the second argument of Beis Shammai? Look at Shavuos. Beis Hillel's counter argument? Yeah, let's do that. Let's look at Shavuos. Dan in Karban Yachim and Karban Yachim, and Dan in Karban Yachim and Karban Sibor. Shavuos is a description of communal offerings. Communal offerings is a different category than personal offerings. The Olos Ri'iyah and the Shammai Chagiga are obligated upon us. They're personal offerings. Again, personal offerings that we're obligated. They're not Nedava, but they're personal offerings. They're Karban Yachid, as opposed to the communal offerings. And those are categorically two different types of offerings. And so Beis Hillel's argument is, you can't translate from one to the other. Well, Beis Shammai, my time, Allah, my Beis Hillel. And the Gemara does this now in the other direction. What is Beis Shammai going to do with the arguments of Beis Hillel? Dekamar chagiga adifa diyeshon lefnei adibor, ri'iyah nami yeshon lefnei adibor. So first of all, this idea that the Shlamim came first because we were offering Shlamim first. Okay, what was this a reference to? So now let me explain a little bit better. This is a reference to the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Right, the Torah was given in Parshas Yisro. Okay. Perek Yutes, Perek Chaf, Parshas Yisro. So there we had Mam and Har Sinai. And a portion of the Torah was given. What portion? Stay tuned. Come back tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll talk exactly what was given in Har Sinai. And then what was given after that. We're not going to get to that today, even though it's on today's daf. Okay. I'm sure of it. But then you go to the finish up Parshas Yisro, go through Parshas Mishpatim, which is a lot of civil law, and then you get to the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chav Dalet, the last chapter in Parshas Mishpatim, and there you have a description of karbonos that are being offered. And when does that happen? Meaning, even though that's being described at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, so Rashi famously says, and one of the places where he says is right here on this daf, is that even though that's expressed in Parshas Mishpatim in Perek Chav Dalet, that actually occurs before Mamad Har Sinai. And Rashi gives us the famous expression of Ein Mukta Mumucha B'Torah, Torah is not chronological, that happens actually before Har Sinai. And in that description, the Torah says that we, the Jewish people, gave Shlamim and Ola. Now, if we could just for a moment ignore the Ola, just ignore it. I'll come back to it in just a moment. So what is it? So what do we see? That even before the Torah was given, in the 6 days, I know 3 days, but meaning from Rosh Chodesh Sivan until when the Torah was given, so what were the Jewish people doing? We were giving Shlamim. And that's Beis Hillel's argument. That we're going to spend more on Shlamim because Shlamim is old, it's antiquated. Probably the wrong word. But in other words, it's more classic. It was given before the Torah was given. So that's why we're going to spend more on Shlamim. To which now, Beis Shammai's argument to Beis Hillel is, read the Chumash. Open up Perek Chav Dalet, and you'll notice that it wasn't just that they were offering Shlamim, they were also offering Ola as well. Okay. So that's Beis Shammai's counter-argument to Beis Hillel. Udikamar, Nailf Menesim, and by the way, later on the Gemara is going to point out, that's a really strong point by Beis Shammai. What's Beis Hillel going to say about that? So stay tuned, the Gemara is going to discuss that. Udikamar, Nailf Menesim, and then what was the second argument? Oh, let's learn from the Nesim. The Gemara says, "Dan and Davar Anog Ledoros, Mi Davar Anog Ledoros, Vein Dan and Davar Anog Ledoros, Mi Davar Sheinu Anog Ledoros." Nesiim was a one-time event. That was inauguration, and it's not precedented. It doesn't translate to future. Masha Ein Kain. Let's look at things that do translate to the future, like the Karbanos Shavuos. Okay. O Beis Hillel, Maishna Chagiga De Yeshna Lefnei Adibor Dechsev Vayizbechus Vachim Shlamim. So now let's turn back to Beis Hillel, and now let's ask the obvious question, and we'll finish with this today. Beis Hillel, all right, it does say in the Pesukim in Perek Chav Dalet that they offer Shlamim, and let's assume that this occurred before Maamad Har Sinai. Good. Riyah Nami Aksiv Vayilu Olos. But it also says that they offer the Karban Ola as well. Okay, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai is right about this point. So, Kasavre Beis Hillel, Ola Sheikruv Yisrael Bemidbar, Olas Tamid Havai. So, the Gemara in defense of Beis Hillel says, well, what Beis Hillel must hold is that that Ola over there was not a personal Ola that was being brought by the Jewish people, but rather, what was that? That was a Tamid, the Karban Tamid. And the Karban Tamid is a communal offering, and therefore could be compartmentalized in its own separate category. And that's why Beis Hillel doesn't view the Ola as something that predates Sinai. Yes, of course, it does predate Sinai, but it's a Karban Tamid, not specific to Ma'amar HaSinai. And what's Beis Shammai's argument? No, we just disagree. We think that the carbon Ola that's being described at the end of Parshas Mishpatim and Perek of Dalet is not an Olas Tamid, but rather Olas Re'iyah, meaning specific to Ma'amar HaSinai. And so therefore, Beis Shammai says that you see that both an Ola and a Shlomo were brought, personal Ola, personal Shlomo were brought before Ma'amar HaSinai. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. We'll pause over here. And tomorrow we will pick up on this discussion of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and what was the Ola that was brought before Sinai.